Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Guys, remember a couple of weeks ago that wonderful story? I said, what about this old bloke, this pensioner from Adelaide whose fishing partner died, and he put an ad on Gumtree going, I just want someone to go fishing with us. And I felt, oh, God, it'd be great if he lived up here. But no, he was down in Adelaide. I thought, that's the last we'll hear of it. Well, it's not the last you'll hear of it. We're about to hear now one of the most beautiful stories. This bloke should be running Queensland Rail, to tell you the truth. 22-year-old carpenter. He's from West End, but Matty Batsinat. Your last name, I hope I'm going to say it right. Batsinalis, is it? Matty?
Batsinalis, mate.
Oh, so close. Batsinalis. Yeah, sorry, mate. I'm not good with anyone who's not. Hey, mate, this is amazing. What happened with Ray Johnson? He's 84, you're 22, or he's 75, is he? Or you're 22.
75, yeah.
How did this come about?
Mate, this was just an ad he put in Gumtree. Probably not your usual ad that you'd find in Gumtree. But, yeah, he put an ad in Gumtree, and it wasn't until I saw it get shared to Facebook by the Courier Mail. And a friend of mine just tagged me in it. And I was, usually when a friend of you tags something on Facebook, you just disregard it because you get that many tags. But for some reason, this was one that I just clicked into. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my God, this is heartbreaking. So, because I just thought of putting myself in his shoes, my old man in his shoes, my granddad in his shoes, everyone in his shoes. I'm like, something has to be done about this. So I just put the offer out there. Did not think it was going to go anywhere, to be honest. Gave an offer of I'd pay for his trip up to Queensland to come fishing the best place in the world. Oh, and he came.
And then what happened? So did you got a message back?
Yeah, so that night I went to sleep thinking nothing of it. Woke up that morning with 1,600 likes on my comment.
Oh, geez.
And all of these messages in my mailbox and all that sort of stuff. And everyone just trying to get behind me. Like, pretty much the whole country was behind me on this. And it was awesome. Without those guys, this probably would never have happened.
So Ray obviously got the message. Did you then call him?
Yeah, so a couple of the media guys helped me get in touch with him just because phone was so bombarded with phone calls from everyone. They helped me get in touch with him. I finally got in touch with him and he was shocked. It was like he thought I was just taking the piss, like it was a joke sort of thing.
Yeah.
He didn't think much of it. And he's like, and I'm like, no, mate, I'm being dead set serious. He goes, you sure? I'm like, mate, I'm being serious. I want you to come to Queensland and fish with us. So we ended up organising an awesome trip over at Stradbroke Island. And it was just unreal. The whole idea of this was just to see the man smile, and that was something I achieved at the airport when I shook his hand, and that was it. From then on, it was all fun.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, we got onto a heap of whiting, a lot of squid. So we just did day fishing. We didn't want to go offshore.
Didn't he want to go land-based fishing anyway? So he would have loved the whiting.
Exactly right. He wanted just to go land-based fishing, but more of it, he just wanted a trip away, just a boys' trip.
Oh,
and that's just something, because so nice. we've been going to Australia for years, and it's just that's something I felt like we could give back.
Did you camp? Did I see myself. You camped at Amity Point as well?
Yeah, we stayed in some of those eco-friendly little shacks on the water. They're beautiful over there.
Beautiful.
Really? That sounds nice. Well, you know what, Matty?
Hold on.
That's,
are you single, nice Matty? Story.
Yeah, I am single, unfortunately. What?
You shouldn't
you
be,
have
mate.
All the values. You have the values that girls are after.
Absolutely. So what happens?
Thanks, guys.
What happens now with Ray? Do you reckon you'll stay in contact with him?
In contact, of course. We're already organising the next trip. He wants to take me to Adelaide and show me around down there.
Oh mate.
We're taking selfies and all that. We're taking selfies together. We're best of mates.
Matty, honestly, I mean, it's one thing to see a post like that, but it's another to actually
to
put your money
something.
And do something. What were you really close to your grandfather? What was it about that particular story that resonated for you?
Oh, guys, I come from like a very, very close family, very family orientated. If one goes down, we all go down together, we pick each other back up. So the family bond that we have is very, very strong. And I just felt that instant connection with Ray when I read that article, thinking that I'm going to do something about it. And I remember actually telling a close mate of mine, saying, I'm actually going to take this guy fishing and I'm not going to stop trying until I do.
Oh.
And I did. So So
you're a
lovely
legend.
Story, Maddie. That's a beautiful story. And we would love to give you a little something.
Yeah.
Tickets to the Rugby Tens, please, and for you. And what else we got, Brendo?
Mate, next weekend, Maddie, we've got the Barbecue and Beer Roadshow on at Doobin Racecourse, bbqbroadshow.com.au. We'd like to send you to that as well, brother, because you're an absolute legend.
Best.
Yeah. Don't hang around with 75-year-olds your whole life, mate. Get out there and have some fun.
Maddie, there's also there's an old man I know who loves to go fishing. He's a bit strange. He wears terry toweling shorts.
Oh, shut up.
And he's often seen shouting at the bus stop. Would you take him fishing one day?
Yeah, why not? Put him on the boat. Let's go.
Good stuff.
His name's Marto, and he's really...
Maddie, I'll hang on to you. Mate, I'll get on to you too. I'll take you fishing over at Morton.
Can I just say...
Sweet, let's go. Let's all go.
Where is that event next Saturday? Because for all the single women that are listening right now, this is where Maddie's going to be next weekend.
You'll find Maddie at Doombin Racecourse.
There you go.
On you, Maddie.
Thanks, guys.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Quiz question. Robin, you can play, but I reckon Ed might beat you fastest finger. Who's captained the Broncos more than anyone else in more games than anyone else?
Darren Lockyer
is incorrect. Ooh. She saved you one, Ed.
No, that's why I was thinking about it a little bit more. I believe it might be. And I'm just looking at that wall, thinking about the wall.
Yes. Yes, you're on the right one, right path.
Gino.
Oh, no. Think about the special glass cabinet.
Oh, the glass cabinet.
What about Alfie?
Alfie.
That is correct. Yeah. I didn't know that. Darren Lockyer only 163 games. Alfie, 170.
No, I didn't know that. Well,
but he can't get himself off. You notice him in State of Origin.
What
he
do you
just,
mean?
He just runs around.
He can't get himself off. That's a shame. It's lucky it's early. Hold on. We're talking about the 10th captain of the Broncos here.
That's what we are talking about.
Darius Boyd, 10th captain of the Broncos. Who do you reckon's captain the Broncos? Wayne said, I'm sick. I've had three captains in 3 years. That's finishing now. This bloke's going to be captain until he retires.
Yeah, look, I don't... How old's Darius?
29. He's been there since 2006. So he's been there. Remember the legendary Cyril Connell? He used to go around the state looking at under 15, under 14.
Right, okay. Yeah, scout.
Yeah, more for Robin this little bit. He used to scouting. He was one of the last people that Cyril Connell scouted in 2006. So
found and kind of went,
like
you can be a star.
Find me player. He's Wayne's find me player man. And that was one of the last guys you got. And Wayne loves... Yeah, he's been everywhere, just for everyone. If you don't know, he was at the Broncos as a kid. As soon as Wayne went to St. George, he followed him there. Wayne went to Newcastle, he followed him there. Wayne came back to Brisbane, he followed him here.
Wow.
There could be no other captain then, really, if there seems to be quite a close relationship
According
between
to
the
Wayne,
two of them.
But you know what I think about Wayne. There's more to him meets the eye. I remember was I married? I forgot about that. I was father of the year and I completely forgot I was married, but that's another story.
People have breakups. Yeah.
All right. I have a worry about Darius because he'll have to talk a lot and he's not a big talker and he'll have to front the media and they'll ask him questions. He's channeling reality TV a little bit too much for my liking.
I thought about my journey and how far I've come the last few years, especially. It's something that...
Journey.
Oh, okay. The word journey.
The journey. Does anyone else hate the word journey? Because he used it once.
Well, Darius, when you look back on how you used to be, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a big journey. It's a big step.
Darius. Darius. Not twice, but three times.
It's something that I'm really looking forward to. I've had a bit of a journey the last few years, especially. But
can we use trip or voyage or something? No,
triple voyage.
Anymore.
Well, you know, it's a word that probably he felt was safe. This is a guy that isn't necessarily comfortable in front of the cameras, and so he's got in his head, as you do sometimes when you're going out to do something in public. You have like little keywords that you put in your brain, so you think, well, if I say
it's
that,
it's
going to
be a long season, though. He's before the season starts. He's hit me up with three journeys already. I'm going to go down there and try to get him to say journey as many times as possible.
Darius, who had the song Don't Stop Believing?
I thought about my journey and how far I've come.
Yeah, wow. He got it.
I have a question for you. When you book a flight, do you go based on the price of the flight or do you go based on your favourite airline? So if you're a Qantas person, do you just fly Qantas and it doesn't matter, you find the cheapest flight on Qantas or do you go the cheapest flight, which is often Tiger?
I'll always go Qantas. I've been flying for a fair while on Qantas. I got one of those frequent flyer card things, some points. So I'll always look at Qantas first.
Can you be tempted for the Tiger, you know, only 7Ks of baggage in a seat?
No, I'd never go to what would be the bottom fare. I don't trust the bottom fare. I'll go mid.
Okay. Hmm. What about you, Ed?
I'm the same as him because he and I have to travel so much for work. Maybe I got it off him. I'm Qantas, and then if that's not available,
what do you fly to Bali? If you go every couple of years to Bali,
yeah.
What do you fly there?
Jetstar or Garuda.
Garuda.
I did Virgin.
Oh, they've gotten good, haven't they? They've gotten better.
Yeah, Garuda's all right. And you've done Virgin to Bali. But cheap flights are so cheap. I've just had a look around now. They're advertising $370 return to Shanghai.
Yes, that's the thing. So
AirAsia,
isn't it?
Isn't it
AirAsia? The Shanghai flights?
Everyone's all right now, aren't they?
Well, okay, let me just tell you a story. This was a fair while ago because there is a story in the paper saying that now people are just going for the budget and they actually don't care. They just want to bum on a seat. They're not worried about anything else. But when I was a teenager, finished high school, did my gap year and had no money and had been working in a pub to try and get some cash to go overseas and be a backpacker, the only flight I could get that was super cheap was on Aeroflot.
The Russian
flot.
The Russian mob.
Now, this is before, communism had, come down and things had changed. Yes. And so all of Aeroflot's aircraft were ex-military planes.
Oh, were they?
And as you took off and landed, the seats would collapse.
Oh, like flop down?
Yeah,
like,
they'd flop because that's what happens on a military aircraft. But my favourite story was coming out of Moscow and it was really turbulent and the plane was bouncing everywhere and we were heading to London and people were seriously crying.
You had to stop in Moscow on the way to get to London.
Yeah, I got arrested there, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Anyway, as the aircraft finally, gets up and the bump stops, and as I said, it was people were crying. They were so frightened.
Yeah.
The pilot came on to the loudspeaker and said, "I've now regained control of the aircraft."
Oh, thank God.
That is my experience with cheap air travel.
But on a Russian flight, what was the food and drink options?
Mate, so much caviar and vodka, not so much on the spirits or the bread.
Oh, but also, was there any mixer or was it just straight vodka?
No, just straight. You couldn't, that's what I'm saying, no mixer. So you couldn't have Coke Sprite or...
That makes a lot of the pain and worry go away.
Yeah, but they made you share a pillow between three people.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that is
between
funny.
Three?
Yeah, three people and one blanket per row.
Oh, that's sort of cute.
Oh, that bringing people together.
It really wasn't.
What's happened on a cheap flight? If you've taken a cheap flight, because also Tiger has, you see this? Tiger's just said, nah, we're out. They've given up on Bali.
Because they're getting banned all the time, poor buggers.
Yes.
So they didn't do a deal with the Indonesian government. Russia. I mean, that wasn't about their fares particularly.
I can remember Alitalia, the Italian
airline. Oh, yeah.
All the hosties used to stand at the front smoking if you were trying to get there, and they'd just be ashing alone. If you're trying to get their attention, they'd completely ignore you.
I flew with Alitalia once with my girlfriend and I was punching above my weight and my girlfriend was quite beautiful.
Yeah.
And there was this Italian guy that sat on my chair on the little armrest, one of these stewards, and tried to pick her up for half the flight.
Oh, one of the stewards.
And they're very happy now.
Yeah. Okay, this is a good game to play. What happened?
Annette from Cannon Hill. What happened on your cheap flight, Annette?
Yeah, we tried to land from Malaysia in the Gold Coast. We attempted to land about four or five times. It was near the flood. So we went to Brisbane because we ran out of fuel. And when we sat on the tarmac, they wouldn't let us off. Then we went back to the Gold Coast, sent another four or five times.
What?
Meanwhile, we had people rubbing, there was someone rubbing their rosemary beads. We had a guy that was probably about 100 who was we thought was going to have a heart attack.
Oh,
the toilet, everything like that was smelling because we'd gone up and down so much.
Oh, no.
We had someone calling out to the pilot, "Let me off, you cannot hold me against my will," trying to get into the pilot. When we finally landed on Brisbane Airport, put it this way, they had probably four or five big security guards. They opened all the doors at customs and just let us all through.
Wow.
And then we've got a bus for you back to the Gold Coast if you want to catch it.
Oh, my God.
Would you ever fly them again?
No, we haven't. Mind you, they were good on the way over, just on the way back, because they couldn't land in Brisbane. So we found out later. But not only that, my husband got Tamiflu.
Oh, he got Tamiflu. Oh, he got a bit of flu
top
as
holiday.
Well. Oh, yeah. That's awful.
Yeah, she'll be holidaying in Australia from now on.
Chris Brassel, what happened?
G'day, team. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What happened? Yeah.
Well, mate, I've worked in the Middle East for 10 years, and part of our contract was that we had to fly Saudi Arabian Airlines one trip home every year.
Okay.
Now, they used to put on going east, going to Europe was fine. You get the modern aircraft going east because they'd go through Karachi and Mumbai and places like that.
Yes.
We're the old 747-100s, which were like 40 years old.
40 years old, Chris.
I kid you not, mate. The luggage boxes overhead would fall open mid-flight. Oh. People, if you've come out of Jeddah because they'd been to Mecca, would have 20-litre drums of the Zamzam water, the holy water, up in the overhead lockers. That'd be pouring out all over you.
It's a miracle!
It's a miracle!
I kid you not.
Oh, geez. Oh, Chris.
Smoking was the majority of the aircraft.
Smoking?
Well, on the aircraft?
Sorry?
Can they still smoke on the aircraft?
Oh, not anymore now. They've recently got that. And the worst thing was, you couldn't get a drink because they were dry flights.
There's plenty of holy water to drink if you want that.
You know you got an old aircraft when there's still an ashtray in the rail.
Jeff of Forest Lake, what happened on a flight? Was it a shocker?
It was a shocker. Actually, Robin, you mentioned you flew Aeroflot. I flew Aeroflot in 2010, 2011.
Ooh,
and 11-hour flight, we were served bread and water, and no one on the flight spoke English. Which is great.
Bread and water. It's the Edward Snowden diet. That's unbelievable, Jeff.
Jeff, where were you flying from and to?
We were flying from Shanghai to Moscow on our way.
And you just looked and went, that one's cheap, I'll take that.
Well, yes. Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then we got to Moscow Airport. We were detained, our passport taken off us, and we were made to sit in a smoking room that was,
I wasn't the only one. Wow.
An experience, yeah. It was only 6-7 years ago. So.
Yeah, see, this is my point. Like, I flew in the late 80s. You're talking about the 2000s.
Yeah. That's terrifying. Definitely not flying via Russia ever again.
Robin, Ed and I don't like to talk politics too often because it scares the hell out of everyone. They skedaddle. When we do, it's for an important reason. I remember last week when Malcolm Turnbull was trying to make a big speech at the National Press Club, and that's when Trump said, "Nah, you're the worst phone call ever." It got hidden. So he's been getting angrier and angrier, Malcolm Turnbull, about everything. No one's paying attention to him lately. Remember the Trump's press secretary had this to say?
The president had a very cordial conversation with Prime Minister Turnbull. He has respect for Prime Minister Trump.
Yeah, twice.
Please, may that catch on, Malcolm Trumbull, from now on. All right, did you see that yesterday? Ed Shorten had a crack at him. He called him Mr. Harbourside Mansion.
Yes.
Now, Trumbull hates being called Harbourside. He hates it because Tony Abbott's old chief of staff, here's a story.
Peter Credlin.
She used to call him that, and that was the rumour. As soon as Shorten used that, Trumbull has just blown up big time and had a go at Shorten. And Shorten was the boss of the unions. And
yes.
Well, you tell me what this means.
There was never a union leader that tucked his knees under more billionaires' tables. A social climbing sycophant, if ever there was one.
Is that what I think it means? Like,
no.
Tuxies.
No.
The billionaires are sitting down and he's on the carpet or something.
No. He's tucked his knees underneath so that
he's playing footsies. Like, he's just eating at a table.
Are you sure? Trumbull went on.
This simmering sycophant blowing hard in the House of Representatives, sucking hard in the living rooms of Melbourne.
Trump.
What a hypocrite.
You know what Trumbull's saying there, don't you?
I think that, yeah, I think...
No,
Trumbull's...
what?
No. Oh, we'll leave you with it.
Now, I know when the invitation came through for all of us to go to the Brisbane premiere of 50 Shades Darker.
I'd love to make it, but I'm doing anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was the person who took the bullet to do it. And let's just say, I mean, I have read the books and...
Have you?
Yeah. Why? The first one was intriguing. The second one was
intriguing
boring. Yeah,
means
no, it was.
Boring as well.
No. I read it really quickly.
I watched my wife try to read it and she made a 50 pages and said, this is nonsense.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And the film's even more so.
Why do we need two films?
Awful. Well, there's three, mate. There's another one coming.
Whoa.
So there's 50
I'm doing
Shades
something
of
that night yeah. too.
I think they have made it, but it won't be out for another 12 months. It opens on Valentine's Day. Well, in fact, it opens today in time for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, nice.
And it was interesting because the whole of the cinema was absolutely chockers. Now, I would describe this film as kind of porn with the storyline.
Beyonce's having twins.
I know. What are you doing?
That's not it.
No, that's not the bit at all. Basically,
see, that's all I'll remember from the show today. Now,
yeah. So the cinema was absolutely chockers, and I thought if
that's
I'm going to
because of aircon.
Of women.
Chicks dig it.
Lots and lots of women who are bringing their girlfriends, but there were a couple of blokes, I found the most blokey bloke I could. And I wanted to have a chat because I figured that if he was going to be there, he could at least give a review that you guys would appreciate.
Can I ask, what did he look like for you to say he was a blokey bloke? What was he wearing?
Oh, he was just your average fella. He was in a polo shirt. He had
bearded.
A pair of jeans on. Did he have a beard? No, he had glasses.
Yeah.
There was one other guy there who was a bikey who had the full moustache and stuff, but he bolted.
What?
The end of it.
Well, but you know what, Robin? If you see a man in leather from head to toe at 50 shades, he may not be a biker.
That's right.
Anyway, do you want to hear what Laurie had to say about this film?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay, Laurie, you're about the most blokey bloke I could find in this audience. What did you think of 50 Shades Darker?
The story wasn't bad. It was a very good story. It's left with a mystery at the end. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, now I'm taking it you haven't read the books.
No, I haven't read the books. My wife has read all three books.
Now, I'm guessing that there are a lot of blokes who are listening to this and their wives are going to want to drag them.
Yeah.
What would be the top three selling points?
It's got a story.
I can be honest.
There is sex involved.
And that's a selling point?
It's human. It's real. It's not uncommon for some people to do those sort of things, I suppose. So, yeah, it's a selling point.
Okay.
And probably the views, the cities, the people. And there's some pretty good-looking people in there. There really is.
And the lingerie's not bad either.
Yes. I was trying not to say that.
You can say it. It's okay. Thank you. Out of 10.
8.
Wow.
And I'm a sci-fi fan. 8 out of 10. It was a good movie.
It's awesome. Thank you.
And that's my honest opinion.
Absolutely.
Laws.
Laurie.
8 out of 10. Who would have known? And he loves sci-fi. He's a Trekkie from way back and he went to 50 Shades Darker and gave it an 8 out of 10.
You know he was heading home to have sex.
Well, that's the only reason you take your wife to see this movie. To make her happy and then you'll get happy when you get home.
I wouldn't be a prude. I'm just going to say that out loud. The sex scenes are full on.
Oh, now you got a few likes.
Okay. Yeah, a graphic. Very
just
graphic.
I just wish I could hear more about the views of the buildings.
Yes.
As if, Laurie. Come on, Loz. We know what you're enjoying.
You've heard it on the news. The Mundine camp has decided to go for an appeal for a no decision on the fight from last Friday night. They want it all struck off the record.
Why, though?
Well, they're saying that there was strange situations. You know, he's called a foul when he hit... Did you see that? End of the first round, he's hit Danny Green. They were in a clinch. Referee's trying to separate them, and he's giving him one to the side of the head. It was a fair old punch, too. They're saying what should have happened there shouldn't have been a point deducted. If there was a foul, they didn't conduct themselves properly. It should have been a 5-minute break while Green got himself together.
Because he looked quite concussed.
Yeah. Well, they're saying the scorecards were wrong. They've asked, can we get the originals of the three scorecards? There's something, they reckon there was a mathematical error.
What?
Despite it being circulated on social media, they're now going, and the guy's in charge of Boxing Australia, I'd like to talk to him, he's going, no, well, they're there are the originals. We must hang on to those. And Mundine's camp's going, well, how come they're on social media? How come people had photographs of them? I wondered about that.
Yeah, I did find that strange. When I saw them come up, I thought, oh, this must be something that they do at decision fights now. I'd not seen it before, but I don't follow boxing closely enough to know.
A photo of the scorecard. Like, seemed weird.
But was there prize money? Like, didn't they both just get $6 million and it didn't matter who won?
That's still murky. There would have been a few bets placed, of course. The money in boxing. You see that Mick Gatto? Is it Mick Gatto? And a colourful Perth
underbelly
identity,
guy.
John Keyson. They went into the dressing rooms of both boxers before and after the...
Well, it's always a wonderful time to meet colourful gentlemen at boxing matches. This is the bit that I'm just looking at the story, and there's a promoter who's been hired by Mundine to lead the protest.
Is he the guy from Melbourne?
Yeah, and when I see that a promoter is in charge of this, it leads me to your theory, Marto, which I just love. Most of your theories are, Robin, he's the crazy man shouting at the train station.
Okay.
But every now and again, that bloke's right.
All right.
And this is your chance to be right. Tell everyone.
Two fights. There's been one in Sydney, one in Adelaide. It's heading in that direction. There's a 60,000-seat stadium being erected right now in Perth, over near the casino, not near where the Wacker is, near the Swan River, further down the Swan River, 60,000. They were hoping to have it finished for the Ashes tour. Is that later this year? It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Ashes tour later this year. It looks like it won't be completed. So they need a big event to open that stadium. Danny Green is the biggest thing there is in Perth, apart from, a few couple of footballers. Well, he's bigger than most footballers.
Yeah, he's the biggest, yeah.
Round three, Mundine versus Green, would be the way. Mate, if you get 37,000 people going to Adelaide Oval where they don't give a stuff about either of them, you've got to get 50,000. This is where it will head, and this will go, oh, no decision, I want an appeal. Oh, well, this will drag on for a while, and they go, righto, there's only one way we're going to sort this out. Let's fight again, despite the fact that Danny Green says never again, etc. Every boxer says that. It's like every football club going, his job's safe.
So are you just assuming that we're just going through the motions and this is a much greater
picture?
These
are little preliminaries, and then there'll be one last one. Hopefully they do it before they turn 50.
The
last thing this year or early in 2018. Watch this spot.
I love it. I love that theory. Well done, sir.
We've got it on tape.
I need some help. I am faced with a terrible choice, Robin and Marto. My beautiful wife, yes, she's pregnant, and it does mean, Robin, before I never really won many discussions, and now I said to her yesterday, we were having a light argument about something, and I said to her, just because you're pregnant, it doesn't mean you're right.
Ooh, right? Them fighting words.
Oh, my God. Who are you?
Well, I'm someone who loses a lot of arguments.
Most of the pages of your policy document.
Mate, I know,
Marto.
That's
silly stuff, mate.
I had a weak moment, mate. I had low blood sugar. I hadn't had any lunch, and I wanted a bliss ball. We didn't have any, and it just got the better of me. That's by the by. But it's cost me because as part of my reparations last night, I cooked dinner, I cleaned up, I gave her a rub, a massage, and all of the above, Robin.
Yeah.
She then said, just after a rub, she went, oh, thanks, that was nice. I'm glad you're being a bit nicer. I was like, yes, I'm sorry, I'm being a bit nicer. And she said, I wouldn't mind going to the movies on the weekend. And I said, yeah, what do you want to see? And these were the choices that were presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
First, it is the all singing, all dancing
La La Land.
Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone atrocity called La La Land.
See, I knew that straight away.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Oscar nominated. Come on, how bad can it be?
Is that a musical?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a
musical. Is that a dancing musical?
Yeah. How's this, Marto? It's Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, who can't sing, singing and dancing around LA, are playing a couple of actors.
Wow.
I mean, it's like they've gone to a lab and said, right, we've got 15 minutes to make the worst film of all time. What do we need? Give me two parts Gosling. Give me three parts singing.
Okay, look, Emma Stone is nominated for an Oscar in this movie. Mm. The film is up for Best Picture. Yeah.
That's right. That's normally a way of knowing that something's, got an angle but is pretty dodgy. So,
okay. Red Dog's on too.
No, don't you start. So now the next option that was presented. So I protested pretty heavily to that. I said, no, I hate musicals. I can't stand, I don't want to see any singing. I hate it. And she goes, fine, then we can see this instead.
I don't know whether to worship at your feet or spank you.
Is that Star Wars?
50 Shades.
What's that one? What's that?
Fifty Shades.
Oh, that one you saw.
Yeah, the Fifty Shades stack at the second end of the franchise.
Were you listening before when Robin was talking about that about 2 hours ago?
Yes,
you can't be going to that.
He gave it an 8 out of 10. I interviewed Laurie, who was one of the only blokey blokes that was actually at the screening last night, and he gave it an 8 out of 10.
Laurie felt under Laurie felt under pressure from you, and he also said that he enjoyed the scenery in the background.
That's right. I mean, Laurie says to his wife when she gets home from the hairdresser, it looks fabulous, and he doesn't even notice.
A real cinematography guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a shot composition guy from way back.
Don't. He was, look, I think.
So what's the other option?
Lala. Bloody Lala.
Is that it?
Yeah,
only
he's
two.
Only got two. Oh, so what do you want to know? You want to know which one of these two, is it?
No, I want to know what people have been dragged to. Because I'm going. So I'm going to either have to cop Lala or 50 Shades. So
you'll go 50 Shades. At least there's lingerie.
But there's not, though. Like, I don't want
that. No, there isn't, actually. It's mostly on the floor.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're not even
suggestive.
Sounds like a sell for it.
Do you know, the whole movie sound, the whole 50 Shades thing is having a shower with your clothes on. It's so pornographic. No, it's not. Go to Marto's internet history if you want to see pornographic. So what if, well, I want to know what people have been dragged to. Because I did drag her to one Broncos game, I think it was last year, and she didn't love it, but that's okay. So she's a big Tigers fan. So if you have been dragged to something, or you are the dragger, what is it? What have you been dragged to?
Have you ever taken your missus to the Greyhounds?
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, that's what she said.
What a wonderful name.
Okay. Although,
Hamish.
Yeah, Hamish, go on. What were you dragged to?
I was dragged to that Valentine's Day movie.
Ouch, Hamish, ouch.
And halfway through, my missus fell asleep, so I ended up having to sit down and watch it all.
Oh, justice. What? So you can tell her how it ended?
Oh, I ended up waking her up, so.
Yeah, no one liked that movie.
No.
Put like the matchsticks really in her eyelids for that one. You are staying awake. You are watching this.
Husband.
That was a disaster. That I had to see that as well, Hamish. I feel your pain. Kim from Woodford.
Oh, Hamish. Kim. Very quickly, Hamish, mate. Is Ed going to see La La Land or 50 Shades Darker?
50 Shades Darker tonight, actually.
Okay.
Tonight. Oh, he's going tonight.
Oh, no, Hamish is going.
See you there, buddy. I'll see you there.
You are a good guy, Hamish. Well done. Kim of Woodford, what have you been dragged to?
Well, I dobbed myself in for it. I bought my husband and myself 3-day passes to the V8s last year on the Gold Coast.
What's the problem with that?
It was going to be, well, I thought it was going to be exciting, like Indy and everything, but after 2 hours of fumes in my eyes and dirt up my nose, I was over it and I still had 2 days and 22 hours to go.
Oh,
where'd you go, Pacific Fair?
We brought friends with us and it was okay, but the food was horrible and the alcohol was really expensive, and in the end I think my husband felt sorry for me because he could just see the look on my face every time we walked through the gate. So
yeah, so
we're not going to do it again.
Not do that again. All right, now Kim, so you've tried to do something nice there and I appreciate that. I'm being punished for some comments that I made. So which
you
is
completely
it?
Deserve it. Yeah.
Oh, how dare you. Well, 50 Shades, 50 Shades or La La Land?
Oh, 50 Shades. I actually dragged my husband to 50 Shades last year and he absolutely loved it.
Yeah. What did he love about it?
Yeah, what did he like?
Yeah. Oh, probably.
How
you know,
horny you were at the end.
The entertainment, yeah.
this one.
Because I read all the books and he kept wondering why I'd put my hand up when he went to speak to me when I was reading. And after he saw the movie, he said, I get it now. Oh. I totally get it.
Oh, mate, if you thought the first one was bad, wait till the second one, Kim. There is so many sex scenes in this film.
Okay.
Is that bad?
Kim. Well, it was got to the point, there were a couple, actually, that where you looked around the cinema and everyone's looking somewhere else.
Gratuitous. Oh.
Yeah, right. Like it's right. Pretty full on.
Right. Okay, now Chris from Warner. Chris, what did you get dragged to?
I got dragged to a wedding in a place in South Australia called Whyalla, which is on the middle of near the desert.
Yeah, but a wedding.
Yeah, but hang on. The bride wore a tutu. The flowers were pink balloons. And the food were sandwiches served out the boot of a car.
Okay, who was the person getting married? Was it someone you
it
knew?
Cindy Lauper?
my sister-in-law.
What was the car thing? Did they not have a table? You can get them from Bunnings for $18.
This is Whyalla. They're all a weird breed of people up there.
Sounds like it.
Boot sandwich, anyone?
I'm not asking Chris what movie I go see.
But the thing is that you can get dragged and then really enjoy it. Like I put up such a stink when we were in Melbourne. My three boys wanted to go to the MCG museum. with my husband. Well, I didn't want to go because I don't know anything about AFL particularly, and I thought it was just going to be like a whole afternoon of my life wasted looking at guys in tight shorts.
Jumpers,
And fully dressed. But it's not. It's awesome because it had all the Olympic stuff. So
open your eyes up, Ed. You're off to La La Land, son. Open your eyes and your heart and your mind.
Marto, Ed and Robin, it is the new Triple M.
Got to tell you, I'm a bit of a fan of a Saturday or Sunday morning brekkie.
Do you go out?
Yeah, I take the kids, three boys and myself, and we go and find cool places to eat yummy food.
Yes, good idea.
Isn't
love
it? It's just one of those luxuries that I would even prefer to do that than go out to dinner at night.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can't go out to dinner at night in this job, and you can't take you don't have breakfast with your boys 5 days
ever,
a week.
Ever.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's kind of cool because they eat a lot. And if I cook it at home, it's like 12 eggs and, you know, a whole couple of kilos of bacon. You know, I'm preferring to pay. But I found this really cool place. It's called The Corner Store and it's in Turinga or Toowong, probably Toowong, actually. You know that street that connects the Regatta to Hoppies? What's that one?
That's Sylvan Road.
Sylvan Road.
Yeah, if you leave Coronation Drive at the Regatta, that's Sylvan Road.
Okay,
it goes all the way through to Milton Road.
I knew you'd know that. It's called The Corner Store.
I know. It's a groovy little place.
Yeah,
not
very
far
funky.
From the tennis course. Right,
however, one of the items that was served that two of my boys ate and absolutely loved.
I like a Corner Store. I've been there. I love that place.
You know, okay. Pavlova on toast.
Whoa.
I think it was supposed to be waffles, but it seemed more toasty to me. They loved it. That's a weird combination
Pavlova
in my mind.
For breakfast first up. I don't think you should be eating meringue. It's like beer. You shouldn't be having that before lunchtime.
It was really good, though. And it's got all the fruit, the fresh fruit. Justify it any way you like. But I was thinking of weird things because I'm one of those tactile eaters, so I like things like grape and peanuts together.
Oh, yuck.
Because I like the sweet and the salty in my mouth at the same time. And I'm one of those people that likes to, you know, like feel and use my hands to eat. How about, I heard of this one too, peanut butter and sprinkles. Like hundreds and thousands.
On what, on bread or
toast?
Yeah,
on bread. That's yummy. That's sweet and peanut.
When you hit 4 years of age, though, you can let that one go, can't you?
Oh, no, I'm still holding on.
God.
Do you like any weird stuff?
There's my wife, of course, being pregnant at the moment. She's testing the limits. So last night, she just said out of nowhere, I need cabbage and parsnip. Like that, and I had to go to the supermarket and buy cabbage and parsnip.
Parsnip?
Yeah.
7-Elevens aren't carrying that, are they?
No.
Don't eat a lot of cabbage, seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't need flatulence assistance when you're pregnant.
Oh, is that what that is?
I don't think so. Or maybe that's what you wanted it for.
Yeah, keep it when she's breastfeeding, but apart from that, I'd stay away from the cabbage.
What about your weird food? What are some odd food combinations that people like? Sometimes it's their own invention. Sometimes it's things that get passed down through families. Like families often have little tricks that they
You know
they
what
do.
I'm having for breakfast this morning? What's in the fridge? And what? You won't see me eat it because I go and hide.
Why?
Sardines and egg.
You're together.
Awful. Is You're that right? On toast.
Hang on, how do you do your egg?
Like I poach it in the microwave in a little cup of water.
That's really good.
No, but it doesn't touch the sardines until afterwards.
We do thank you, though, for not bringing it into the studio.
That's why I go out on the veranda and eat it, because everyone hates it. It's offensive.
Thank you.
I remember you saying that about Terry. He used to eat sardines in the studio. I thought, I won't do that.
Oh,
don't be a Terry, mate.
Yeah, don't you be a Terry. No, Terry, no.
Jerry. Jerry's from Springfield. Jerry.
What do you got, Jerry?
Mate, my young fella likes salted peanuts on fruit loaf smothered in tomato sauce.
Oh, my God.
Jerry.
Yeah. Ooh, I'd like that. Have you tasted it?
I did. I did try it, and I got to admit, it's not bad.
Yeah, the tomato sauce, though.
Yeah, because that's so sweet. Tomato sauce has got that sugar in it.
It's a bit bizarre, but that's what he likes.
Wow, thanks, Jez. All right, that's the game we're playing. What is your bizarre food combos that you love? Be loud and proud, because people go and they'll try them today and they might go, I do like that.
Nice. Seen some of that nonsense on the MKR, anything can work.
Looking for your weird food combos.
Who doesn't like McDonald's French fries in a sundae?
Oh, yeah.
Yum. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
are you serious?
Oh, so good. Has to be caramel sundae.
Are you dipping the chips into the ice cream?
Yum.
Yep.
So good. Thank you, Ed.
You too.
Right.
Yep. Awesome.
We're playing combinations that really get you going. Andrew, Springfield Lakes, what's delicious, buddy?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, mate.
What is it?
Your turn.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we're great.
What is it?
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, you ready for this? It's peanut paste and Worcestershire sauce sandwich.
White or wholemeal bread?
Whatever.
Why, Andrew? Was it spilt on there accidentally one day? How did you get to this place?
No, mate, I think my father came up with it and it's sort of gone down through. It's in its third generation now with my kids.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love it when it's a generational food thing. Thank you, Andrew.
No judgment here. Brendan, how's it going? Yeah, what's the combo?
Yeah, I've got a food truck on the Gold Coast called On A Roll, and we do sliders. And one of the burgers we introduced late last year was we get a Krispy Kreme donut, cut it in half, toast it. We put a beef patty on it with Colby Jack cheese and maple bacon.
Yum! I want to taste it.
What's it called?
Burger. We actually call all our burgers after classic album names. This one's all songs. This one's called "Kickstart My Heart" after Motley Crue.
Say that again. Say the name of your food truck again. I got the brief.
Oh yeah, On A Roll.
On a roll. And where are you? Just on the Gold Coast?
No, we do Gold Coast. We do Brisbane. We do everywhere.
Why don't you bring one in one day when you fly past here? You got to come in.
We'll hook it up. Yeah.
Okay. We'll get your number because we should then get people stopped on the way to work.
That's not so weird because they always say those the buns that McDonald's sell, they've got sugar and stuff in them, haven't they?
That's true, mate. That's very true. I love that idea. Okay, On A Roll. You guys are champions. Reuben from Salisbury. Reuben, g'day, mate. Give us your combination, mate.
Morning, guys. Doritos, cheese supreme with chocolate ice cream.
Good Lord.
I love how they have to be cheese supreme.
Oh, yeah, because the plain ones are boring. So, yeah, it's got to be cheesy and then you're sweet with the ice cream.
Did someone show you this or were you just drunk one night? What happened?
Yeah, I had some American friends up at Noosa and that's what they used to have. But they used to have warm Dr. Pepper as well, but that's just about making
sense. Let's stop with the Doritos.
These animals.
Okay, Cheryl of Hastings, tell us about your weird food combo. What is it?
Morning, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a customer that comes in regularly and he has cooked chook with strawberry jam and lots of salt and pepper on a white roll.
Wow.
Chicken and strawberry jam. Now, Cheryl, do you have all of these ingredients or does he bring, We have all that.
He just specially requests it.
Well, you do turkey and cranberry, so I suppose it's not that big a stretch.
Yeah, and then the other lady that comes in, she has Vegemite on her raisin toast.
Ooh. I've heard of that before, Cheryl. Yeah, something about the sweet and the sour.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of that. Are you noticing? We're getting a lot of sweet and sour together.
What's that ice cream? Has got the salted caramel. I've never seen that until
Ben and Jerry's have got a great salted caramel.
Yeah. That's why many years ago Jesus invented sweet and sour pork.
That's actually a fact. Jesus invented sweet and sour pork.
It's in the Old Testament, mate.
I haven't read the Bible, mate.
I'll get that tonight.
Alan of Alchester, tell us about your weird food combo.
Battered beetroot.
Now, how on earth did you come to learn about battered beetroot, Alan?
When we were young, the cupboards were a bit low. That's what the parents used to do to fill us up a bit.
Oh, what a great idea. It's one of those old... When we were young, we only had a boot to eat, so we used to put salt on it.
That's the one. Yeah.
You can put batter on anything and it tastes bloody good, doesn't it?
That's it. A beetroot is nice. Here we go.
Well, I'm half keen. I love a bit of beetroot.
Yeah, I was thinking battered beetroot. That's almost gone full circle and become like a really swanky dish. You know what I mean? Like Guy Grossi. Battered beetroot.
Too fancy for us, Alan.
Manu would love it.
Marto, big weekend for you. The Rugby Global 10's coming to Brisbane.
Oh, my God, the team list came through. 14 teams. Some of these people I've never heard of before in my life, like they're from the Samoan team. I haven't called them for years.
I was going to say,
Talon.
And that's saying something if you don't know who they are.
Yeah, but they're all wandering around town. I see that Talon team with James O'Connor, who I think is coming in here tomorrow probably to apologise to me.
Don't hold your breath.
They're here. They're down the coast, but I'll tell you what, I saw at Helensvale Hogs, where my little nephew plays, they had the Waikato Chiefs, who have won the Super Rugby a couple of times. They were there the other night, and didn't they eat some food? But tonight, I just wanted to make a little announcement. At Caboolture Rugby Club, one of my favourite rugby clubs, the Caboolture Carpet Snakes, they're hosting the ACT Brumbies. They're doing some coaching, 5 until 6:30. 8 Wallabies will be on site. You can get your selfies.
Meet them.
Yeah, they've got 8 Wallabies in their team. So, it's a great chance. You don't have to go anywhere apart from your local little rugby club at Peterson Road, Moray Field. And they're also helping out coaching with their under-12s to under-16s. They don't often get this chance, so I know there's a lot of you around out there at Caboolture. Love your rugby. All the Kiwis, get down there, and I know you're a big part of the Carpet Snakes as well. Enjoy everyone up at Caboolture. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, Kiwis are a big part of the Carpet Snakes. I was like, is this some sort of...
No, well, what there's are we, lots of Kiwis this... play up down there, up there at the Carpet Snakes.
Oh, right. I thought it was some sort of Currumbin Bird Sanctuary safety advice. It was bizarre.
I was just trying to drum them up. They said, can you tell people we've got a little event on here?
I do love it. And we do love the Global Tens. One of your absolute all-time favourites and mine, Chris Latham, former Reds player, who's in his 40s and he's coming back and he looks fit. So I'm going to demand that he gives men a fitness tip if they're in their 40s, because Latham looks fantastic. And there's going to be some tickets to go to the Global Tens when we catch up with Chris
Latham.
Actually,
I'll hit YouTube while the song's on and you have a look at what this bloke used to do.
Okay.
Incredible stuff.
He's a real Kiwi amongst the Carpet Snakes. That's as they say.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up is brought to you by the unbreakable Toyota Hilux SR5 with satellite navigation and 3.5-tonne towing and trailer sway control. Search Toyota Value.